For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. Now, with the second wave of coronavirus infections seemingly roaring across Connecticut, state teachers' unions have been calling, in the absence of certain protocols, for students to go to a distance learning-only model for the time being. But the state, led by Governor Lamont, remains adamant about keeping kids at least partially in the classroom. For more, we're joined now by Don Williams, Executive Director of the Connecticut Education Association. Don, why is the state wrong in opposing full distance learning during the second wave of coronavirus infections?
Well, the key here is to get in-person learning right. Everybody agrees that the best way to learn is not on a computer laptop, but in-person in the classroom. And that's what teachers prefer. But teachers' first priority is the health and safety of their students, everybody in their classroom, and their colleagues, the staff in all of the schools. And so what we're saying is, with the infection rate skyrocketing, we've got to strengthen the safety protocols so that in-person education can be safe. And if we can't do that, if we're saying, well, you know, we just can't make that work, then we're saying, all right, then you've got to look at distance learning.
Okay, now, I understand the Board of Education Coalition, they released a report last month laying out 14 steps schools in the state should follow if the state wants to continue in-person learning. Are those the protocols that that you are referring to?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, these are basic things like what to do when someone tests positive, how do you inform the school community, how do you make the decisions about quarantining and contact tracing, having teachers and staff involved in those decisions, since almost always they're the ones with the frontline firsthand knowledge of who was exposed, having testing, COVID testing in the schools, and not just testing those who are exhibiting symptoms. You have to test at least on a random basis all of the students and staff to catch those folks who are infected and can spread the virus but are not exhibiting symptoms. And that's up to 40% of the folks who get the virus.
Well, which of the steps outlined do you feel that state schools are egregiously not following right now?
Well, they have not had the means and the assistance from the state to do the kind of COVID testing that I just mentioned. So that's number one. But the other essential safety protocols go to how do you deal when a case, positive case, emerges, the contact tracing, the quarantining, the enforcement of the basic protocols like the social distancing, the right amount of room for folks, mask wearing. These basics are critical to keeping folks safe.
Well, Governor Lamont says that he is rolling out tens of thousands of, I think I'm getting this right, the Binax Now 15-minute coronavirus tests for school students and staff, but he's not making that mandatory for in-person learning like New York is doing. Why is what the governor is doing here enough or not enough?
Well, we need some kind of mandatory test program, and the tests that you're talking about, these are the so-called instant tests where you get results within 15 minutes. They're not all that accurate. They're pretty good at detecting a positive case because they require a high percentage of the virus to be present in order to detect it. They're not so good at catching all the cases. So just if you test negative with this 15-minute test, it doesn't mean that you're virus-free. In jurisdictions where they're using this test, those who test negative usually then have a second test with the more reliable test where they take a sample from your nostril.
You know, the state says statistics are telling them that schools have not been a major source of COVID outbreaks. Here's a stat from November 19th through November 25th. They say hybrid learners had the largest number of new cases at 421, while in-person students had about 281 cases, and online-only students had less than that, 211. What do you make of those stats? Do you believe them?
Well, as one expert said, it's like driving with the headlights off at night. Because we're not doing the testing in schools, of students except those who are exhibiting symptoms of the virus. And we know that people and young people especially who get the virus don't have any symptoms 40% of the time. We're missing cases in the school. And so we don't know the prevalence of the virus in any of our schools that are not doing some kind of regular random testing of all students and staff.
How is contact tracing going in schools, to the best of your knowledge? Is it true that because there aren't enough contact tracers in these various towns that teachers and staff are having to try to fill that role? And if so, how are they filling it, and how's that affecting their main job?
Absolutely, that's true. Originally, the contact tracing was supposed to be done by the local health departments. Frankly, those health departments, which are supposed to do all of the contact tracing, not just in schools, in a community, have been overwhelmed, and they're more overwhelmed now with the increase in the infection rate. So yes, teachers, administrators, staff have been asked to basically pitch in wherever they can, and the contact tracing system is largely being overwhelmed right now in the state.
If you're asking for full remote learning until all of your guidelines are met, what about this? So many kids are living in multifamily dwellings, multi-generational households. Is there an argument to be made that kids and staff are safer in school than spending all of their time at home?
Well, we know that the virus can spread with a minimal amount of contact, being close to somebody, not wearing a mask. We know that the virus is airborne, can be breathed in, and folks can get it. So when they go home at the end of the day, the kids are undoubtedly, of course, exposed to some degree at home. And then when they ride the bus, they're potentially exposed or exposed to someone else who might have it. And then within the school, despite the best protections that we put in place, there's obviously the possibility of passing that on again. So the more you're moving around, the more you're in different places with different pieces, with different people, the more likely it is that we're going to see a continuing expansion of the virus.
The CSEA SEIU Paraprofessional Council President Cynthia Rossway said in a news release that some of our schools are operating with half the normal staffing levels. With that in mind, the governor is urging residents with teaching or social work experience to visit the Step Up Connecticut website and become substitute teachers or paraprofessionals. And part of that is program is making college students studying to be teachers eligible for an emergency certificate so they can help out in classrooms while they continue towards their degree. What do you like about that idea, and what troubles you?
Well, what troubles me is that if you're bringing in more folks from the outside and you're not testing them, you're increasing the possibility of spreading the virus, either to those interns who are coming in, those students who are coming in, or to the students who are in class. What I do want to say is there's a responsible and safe way of dealing with this when teachers and staff have to quarantine, when you have a reduction in staff as a result of that. And that is allowing the teachers to teach remotely into their classrooms so that you keep the continuity of students learning from their teacher. And then you have the substitute or other staff personnel in the classroom to keep, obviously, the continuity, the order, et cetera. So we have suggested that. That makes a lot of sense. It's educationally sound because the students continue learning from their teacher, as opposed to the teacher just being home quarantining and then bringing in a substitute. You're going to have to bring that person in, someone to the classroom anyway. Why not have those students continue to learn from their classroom teacher?
And last question, what are you hearing from the state, from Miguel Cardona, from the governor and his administration about taking some of your concerns into consideration?
We're having conversations right now. We're hopeful that we can get some quick action because, you know, the time for discussion about this and some of these issues we've been talking about for weeks and months is pretty much over. We need to get serious about strengthening our safety protections if we want any chance of hanging on to in-person education in our schools and not having them overwhelmed by the increasing spread of the virus.
Connecticut Education Association Executive Director Don Williams, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.